Hey, Tiffany Stratton here from the WWE SmackDown. Tiffy time can be crazy, y'all, and when I get a break, that means it's Chumba time. Chumba Casino has hundreds of online social games and new titles landing every week. There's always something fresh to try, and the daily boosts make Chumba even more fun. They're little epiphanies that make my day sparkle. Ready for a fun way to switch off and take some time for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Giant fans, we introduce you here in hour number two as we head out to West Virginia. Our friend, NFL reporter for SNY, Connor Hughes. Follow him on Twitter, X, at Connor_J_Hughes. I mean, geez, Connor, add 50 more numbers there to your Twitter handle. What's going on, man?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Tell us the optimism that feels like it's floating around the Giants down there at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the talk of the town, obviously, because the Knicks just won it all. But I mean, it was a good offseason for them, right, guys? I mean, look, you have a player that I think fans in this organization believe in at the quarterback position, and Jackson Dart, who showed a lot of promises in year one. You've got the biggest head coaching fish that's probably been available in recent years, who chose to come to New York and made it pretty clear that he wanted to coach the Giants. He's here. You've got the two first round picks that they were able to get out there in CC and Reese. You've got Carter coming back. Malik is practicing again. So it seems like a lot of things are breaking the Giants' way right now. And right. At least before they can actually lose a game, the optimism is pretty high for them.
Right. You want to be positive, and there's some positives to get into, including Malik Nabers, which you just mentioned. Yeah. I think that's the biggest one. So we heard about this on after day one, how he looked good. He was running more, good form than we kind of expected after seeing that softball video. But he's also not going full speed and fully sticking his foot in the ground or really in competitive type situations. Mm-hmm. What should be the expectation for his readiness? Because people are saying maybe he'll play week one. I still have trouble believing that, but what should we expect after seeing him for a couple days?
Well, the fact that he's even out there, Tiki, is kind of crazy. I mean, because we all talk to people. I mean, mm-hmm. There was a lot of pessimism internally about whether or not he was going to be ready or when exactly he was going to be ready. I mean, I remember talking to one person who had said, like, oh, you know, he might not be ready until November. And I was like, well, that seems crazy. So I touched base with someone close to Malik and was like, hey, is this true? And he goes, no, it's not going to be November, but it does sound like it's going to be a bit before he's out there. So, like, even these were people close to Malik who were right. Like, yeah, we don't think he's going to be ready. And that would signal, oh, he's going to be on the pup list to start camp and all that stuff. And so for him to avoid that and still be out there, and again, you're right, it's individual drills. He's not in teamwork. He hasn't had to fight anyone off of a press. And even when watching him run through team drills, where individual work and then the full offense drill, look, his burst looks good. His acceleration looks good. His speed looks good. His cutting looks good. He's getting down well. He moved throughout the ladder drill well. But there is still, you can tell, some apprehension and some things that he does and some hesitation with his expected now.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you wouldn't believe, based off what we're seeing here, seven weeks away from the opener?
Six now.
I don't know if we're seeing this now. Why would we not believe he's going to be ready in at least some capacity for the opener against the Cowboys? And I'm not saying he's going to be ready for a 60 or 70 play workload.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be inactive. I think right now the optimism, barring a setback, is justified that he should be out there in the opener.
Wow. Yeah. And Connor, look, as surprised as many of us were when Jordan had the first report about him not starting on PUP, and then we were all surprised to see how he looked, at least in video form, in day one. I think Tiki and I were both equally surprised. Forget how he looked in day two, but the fact that he was out there in day two. Is this a Harbaugh thing? Is this a neighbor's thing? Is he going to work in some days off here? Because I was kind of shocked that he did that in back-to-back days already to start camp.
You can go even further than that, Sean, because he had to get on a flight here to West Virginia. So, you know, like with the pressurized cabin and all that stuff. So he, and that was, Joe Shane actually made that comment before the first practice that, like, you know, he had to go on a flight. He had to do the conditioning test. He then had to practice the first time. Then he had to practice the second time. But it's very clear that this team has a plan for him in place. And the one thing that Joe stressed a lot of is that it's contingent on how the body feels. So if Malik ever goes to them and says, hey, guys, something doesn't feel right. Hey, guys, this is a little different. Hey, guys, I don't really like this. They're going to pull him back. But they're going to push him until they can't really push him. And then they'll bring him back, and then they'll push him a little bit more. I mean, because – and everyone said this. I mean, Brian Burns talked about it. Harbaugh talked about it. And Jackson Dart talked about it as well. All of these guys are telling him, do not rush it. We don't care how great you look in practice. We don't care how great you look in training camp. We need you when the games count. That's what we need you for. And that's the focus for the Giants. So I don't think they're going to force him to do too much. I don't think they're forcing him to do too much now. Like, even when you see him at practice, Sean, like, he goes through the individual drills. Mm-hmm. Once the individual drills are over, he's immediately with a trainer, stretching out, going inside, doing some additional rehab work. So they do truly have a plan in place to make sure he is ready for when the games count.
Right. And so with him maybe being available, maybe not, it then begs the question, well, who is catching these balls from Jackson Dart? Now, I've heard that Malachi Fields, former Wahoo, by the way, Notre Dame as well. But we've heard that Malachi Fields has had a good camp so far. But who else can we believe in? I mean, I know Darius Slayton has this this historic, not historic, but he's getting close to being one of the best productive wide receivers in Giants history. But we know his drop rate last year was frustrating to everybody. Calvin Austin is new. Darnell Mooney is new. Juju Smith-Schuster. And then obviously Odell Beckham Jr. Like, what is this going to look like? Because there's 14 of these guys in camp.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't say the island of misfit toys right now, but I don't think there's really I don't think there's like an obvious number two. You know, I mean, like it.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code The Difference for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, when they go out there with the starting unit, it's Slayton, Austin, and Mooney. And Mooney had a good day yesterday. I think he made some impressive grabs. Really, really pretty. He probably was going to be sacked on the play, but in camp, they let him play through.
Right.
Gorgeous touch pass from Jackson Dart deep down the middle and right into Mooney's hands with a couple defenders around him. So, I mean, Mooney flashed a little bit on Thursday when he had a quieter Wednesday. Slayton, I think you just know what he is. I mean, you don't need to see him lighting up camp to know what you're going to get from him on a day-in, day-out basis. He is what he is.
Right.
And then that slot position where, you know, Austin made a couple grabs. I don't think he's really stood out. Braxton Berrios is catching everything thrown to him, but he's working with the second team. So you would assume that Braxton Berrios should be beating the second team nickel right. corners and finding holes in the second team defense. Like, he should be doing that, and he is. To his credit, but like you'd expect that. And then Odell is obviously working in there. And you mentioned Fields. He's made some plays. He made actually one catch in 7-on-7 drills that brought Cam Scataboo into like just an eruption screaming about, you know, what he can do with his size. So he is a noticeably big bodied dude. I know people have said the Plaxico comparison, but like Plax was so massive and lanky.
Right.
This guy's more big. Like he's a big dude out there. So he's somebody who I think is still learning and needs to learn how to really play within his frame, but I think he'll have a role. I don't know if it's going to be his wide receiver two this year, but I don't know if there's a good answer to that question. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, they probably want Malik out there sooner rather than later. But the one answer that probably would be the non wide receivers, Isaiah Likely, because he's been really involved these first 2 days and they're using him in so many different ways where you'll have Theo out there and also Likely out there, whether he's in the slot or split wide. I mean, they're using him as a weapon.
Right. Has Odell Beckham Jr. spent any time with the first team offense?
Yeah, he rotates it. So he's with the second grouping of receivers. But then when they rotate, because he has been out there with Jackson Dart. So when that first trio that I was talking about, when those guys rotate out and Beckham rotates in with the second group of guys, they're out there still with Jackson Dart. But okay. He hasn't been taking first team reps from Slayton or taking first team reps from Mooney or anything like that. And look, I covered Odell's very first training camp practice or first training camp season with the Giants back in 2014. And if you remember, guys, he had that hamstring injury, so yes. He basically never practiced anyway. I didn't get a chance to see him in his prime. I don't know if he's a notoriously slow camp starter. Somebody was telling me that the other day, like yesterday, actually, don't worry about him. He's going to be fine. Don't worry about him. He's going to be fine. Like, he, trust me, he's going to get going, like one of those things. But to this point, it's been a very quiet start for Odell. And it's not that he hasn't been getting open. Like, there's been a couple times because, again, he's one of those dudes where he steps on the field. You want to see what he's going to do, so you watch him. We're standing on the sideline, so it's a perfect vantage point. It looks like he's been opened a couple times. He just hasn't been thrown to. I mean, I think it's been in two practices, three targets, and he has one catch, and one was way over his head, and I think one was another throwaway on a play. So he really hasn't been thrown to at all. So I was actually joking with Art Stapleton and Jordan on the sideline that, like, Just tell James just throw some to Odell and see what happens. Like, just throw some up there and let's see if he does something fun. Like, because other than that, it's been a little boring.
Well, one last quick one on Odell. He's not a lock. I mean, I gave you the numbers, right? It's 14. So. They're only going to keep 6 or 7, maybe 6, 7. You like what I did there? But he's not a lock, right?
No, he's not. And if you have one of these younger guys that really steps up and shows something, you have to play the game because this is somebody who, he might not be technically as good as Odell Beckham Jr. might be at the moment. But if he's a younger player, you can say, well, we've got him under team control for 3-4 years here. Mm. He might be a better player than current Odell in 2 years. And so he's worth developing and getting these reps as opposed to Odell, who's just going to stand on the sideline. He's not going to obviously play gunner. He's not going to play special teams. He's really just an outside wide receiver with no special teams value. So no, I don't think he's locked to make the team at all. In fact, I think he needs to show he deserves that spot on the team. Certainly.
Well, the biggest star the Giants added this offseason wasn't Odell Beckham Jr., it was John Harbaugh. It's only been 2 days so far. We're entering day number 3. From your eyesight, what is the biggest drastic change about Giants camp with John Harbaugh running the show compared to what we've had previously, including Brian Daboll?
He's a professional is the way that I would describe it. The way that he talks, the way that he acts, when you see him moving from the different drills and with the different players and working with different groupings, the way that things are organized, the way that things are running. I mean, it just feels like a professional operation. Like you can see it right away why this guy has been a head coach for basically 2 decades. Like you get it. You can see it. Now, the criticisms with Baltimore were always, is he the coach to get us over the hump? Like, yeah, we're winning 10, 11 games every year, but like, that's not the standard. We want to win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Is he good enough and schematically good enough to get us to a Super Bowl? I don't know that. We'll find out. But immediately you can tell that with him on the Giants sideline, their floor is raised. And I think that the days of this team truly bottoming out and winning like two games, three games, four games, I think with Harbaugh, that won't be the case. Their bad seasons will be those 7, 8, 9 win years. And right. then their good seasons are going to be 10, 11, 12. And we'll be probably having this conversation in a couple of years saying, well, is John good enough to get him over the hump?
That kind of thing. It's funny, Connor, you bring that up because when we used to talk about my career, we had some bad seasons, but they were 7 win seasons or, you know, 500. That was bad. And then when it finally got really bad at 4 wins, that's when Fossil lost his job and they brought in Tom Coughlin. Real quickly, Francis Maiunoa, he's slotted in as the starting right guard. How's he looking so far in camp?
Here's the best thing I can tell you about him is that I haven't noticed him. Good. And as an offensive lineman, that's a good thing.
No,
because we don't have the luxury of replay. Like, so it's not like I can go back and watch the All-22 and specifically keep my eye on him. So usually the only time you notice an offensive lineman is when he's getting beat pretty regularly. Like, I noticed Andrew Thomas a lot yesterday because Abdul Carter beat him twice. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you notice that's not a criticism of Thomas as much as it is praise for Abdul Carter just having a really good day yesterday.
Of course.
But yeah, I haven't noticed him, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, like, that is a good thing.
And I will say, because he's playing on the interior right now, there have been several times, Tiki, where I've watched enough training camp practices, and now, man, like most of the time in these drills, the running back runs into the line, he kind of gets slapped on the shoulder 17 times, and he finds his way through and runs all the way down the field for, you know, whatever. You can't tell if the play would have worked or not.
Right.
There have been several times the first 2 days where there have been legitimate, noticeable running lanes for these backs to move through. Like, these offensive linemen have moved guys out of the way. You've seen the play set up, and you've seen whether it's Scadaboo or Tracy get through the line and not get slapped on the shoulder for 4, 5, or 6 yards, which is a positive development. And with CT in the middle there, I mean, he's playing a role in it.
Yeah, I hear that, and I fortunately go to the negative, which would mean, is that a bad sign for the run defense? And then the fact that, like, he just mentioned CC Maiunoa. How about Orville Reese? Because, you know, when was the last time the Giants picked top five and you felt like you really haven't talked or heard? We're all talking about Maiunoa. Orville Reese, has he shown up at all here?
Not yet, but it's still been early. For the bad reason. I mean, he could have made a play on a ball yesterday and didn't. It was in zone coverage, and he just missed a play. Like, he could have made a play in game. Jordan is walking through the house. So that's Jordan. And I think you guys know, right? I think the world knows that, like, the beat here of me, Jordan, and Pat Leonard are sharing a house together.
Exactly. I heard you on a podcast not be able to have a phone turned off, so I know a lot's going on over there.
Oh, yeah. We're basically in a frat house at the moment, which was great because, like, I left my wife for, like, 2 weeks here, and she's like, wait, so, well, at least you'll probably be lonely in a hotel. And I'm like, well, not exactly, because you know, like, my 4 closest friends in the beat. Yeah, we're all living together.
Right. Like,
all right, and then I'm putting the golf clubs in the car, and she's giving me the death glare.
You were bad. Great. You should have done that secretly.
A newborn back home, dude. Yeah.
I know.
I was getting death glares, dude.
Oh, without a doubt. You should have shipped them quietly.
I know. God bless my wife.
What's the beverage of choice in the fridge, Connor?
You guys don't have any sponsors. Do you guys have those sponsors? Should I do one of those?
Doesn't matter.
Give a shout out.
No, not at all. Yeah. Be honest. I'm just curious.
We got Nooners in there.
Nice.
There's Gatorade in here, Nooners, water. And I don't drink beer, but Dan and Jordan are beer drinkers. So there's some of that in there as well.
What's the handle? You got a handle or something?
Yeah, Jordan's pointing at me right now to tell you. So Jordan brought down a bottle of Don Julio Anejo. So we have been dabbling into that as well. And actually,
Connor, I knew something was going on in that house. Don Julio, Nooners. No wonder Pat Leonard's been so positive through 2 days of camp.
Yeah, that's it too. I don't think he's going to, after we saw him on the golf course yesterday, I don't think he's going to be so positive.
Me and Jordan
took down him and Bruce Beck. So we were quite the 2v2 there. It was great. We came down to like 16-17.
Connor, I am so jealous. You have no idea. Come
to this next one, Tiki. We'll take you out.
I love the Greenbrier because we used to have the ACC kickoff thing down there. Dude, the place is phenomenal. But let's get back to football.
Arville Reese. He missed the one play.
Right.
Like that I noticed him for. I have not seen him yet be used in that way of
off the edge.
Oh, he's rushing in the middle. He's rushing outside. Oh, he's like this true, like, just, you know, disruptor that they're moving all over the field. he's just been playing a traditional linebacker spot next to Edmonds. Right. And I think right now that, because the thing to remember about him, man, and this is like, yes, and this is why some coaches weren't as high on him as a top five pick as other people, is like, yes, he can do so many different things. He has that skill set to rush and drop and play and be a force in the middle. Like, he can do all of that. But in order for him to do 27 different things, he needs to learn all 27 of those things. Right. And that's a lot to put on a rookie's plate. So it looks like right now what the Giants are saying is like, dude, you're our will linebacker. Learn to be our will linebacker. And once you've mastered that, then we're going to add more to your plate. And so, unfortunately, like in padless practices right now, those things aren't like standing out at the moment.
Right. One of the more convoluted evaluations of a rookie last year was Abdul Carter, because from a fan standpoint, you felt like he wasn't impactful. But from a, let's just say PFF standpoint, because they do this stuff, he was very impactful. Like, he was impacting games, though he was not impacting stat lines. You just mentioned him going up against Andrew Thomas and beating him a couple of times. From what I've read from you all from afar, he's having a great camp. Is he primed to take that next step that everybody has kind of been waiting for, to be a, not a double-digit sack leader, because it's hard to have two of them, but you know what I mean. He seems like he was prepped last year, and now his work ethic that got called out in the middle of the last season is now benefiting him going into this one.
Yeah, and you know what else I kind of like too, Tiki, is that a year ago, and this also kind of plays into the Arvell Reese conversation that we were just having, is that the Giants used him everywhere as a rookie in camp. So, like, you would see him from the left side. Then he would be rushing from the right side. Then he'd be standing up. Then he'd be at defensive tackle. Like, they were throwing a lot and putting a lot on his plate. I mean, so, again, he's a rookie into the NFL, first training camp, coming off of college, coming off of the whole pre-draft process, and now it's like, hey, learn these 37 different roles. And you would see sometimes he would just like destroy people with like spin moves on the inside, because he's just so hard to tackle. But it was doing a lot of everything. Through camp these first two, I mean, it's only been 2 days. We'll have another practice here in a little bit. But he's been rushing exclusively against Andrew Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing, because it seems like what the Giants are saying is like, you are our edge rusher. Go be an elite level edge rusher. And it's like, once you master that, then we'll put some more on your plate. We'll see if they then, you know, start, when they get really creative, they start, you know, Denard starts moving around and stuff like that. But he had a decent day one. He really flashed day two. I mean, the Giants offense was bad yesterday. But a big reason for that was not Jackson Dart looks bad, not, oh my God, no receivers are getting open. It was that Abdul Carter was just ruining the practice. I mean, I had two sacks for him, a third sack that he forced. I believe he had a TFL as well. I mean, he was a disruptive force. And you also have Brian Burns, who was making plays as well. So, I mean, it was a very promising thing to see yesterday, building off of a pretty decent day Wednesday.
Connor Hughes, SMY. One more for me, Connor. I know you got to get back to Jordan making you an omelet or whatever. But look,
you want some bigger food? I'm hungry.
Everything is so positive right now, as it should be 2 days into camp. There's got to be something sticking out that is a negative, maybe an elephant in the room. 2 days through a camp, what do you think is the biggest issue right now with the Giants?
We talked about it a little bit ago, man. I would say that without Malik, that wide receiver crew doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's real. I mean, when I'm sitting here and you want to say like, who's the best player in practice, and I'm saying Braxton Berrios, like, I don't think that's a great thing. Like, shout out Braxton. Like, great. Like, I like him a lot. Braxton's a really good dude. I'm happy he's back with the Giants. He's really good. I got to know him pretty well with the Jets, but I think like you hope to see like maybe some more of those free, not the guy that was signed 3 weeks ago, but like some of those other guys that like they brought and invested money in, like really making plays and stepping up. And likely he's been good, but like, the other wide receivers, man, like there's a lot to be desired there.
Yeah. Now, Connor, I know you're at Giant Camp, but you keep an ear out, at least for the Jets goings on.
Yes.
We had this conversation to start the show, and it's really just speculation on my part. I was talking to my brother about the whole Baker Mayfield thing. It's not likely to happen, but should it be on the Jets' mind to think about Baker Mayfield in a potential trade?
Not a trade, but because I don't think Tampa will give him up. I mean, that's I think that was the whole thing, if I'm not mistaken, was like Baker's like, well, we're just gonna now have to deal with this in the offseason. You have to figure it out. Like, right. If anything happened at the end of the year, I mean, Baker's a hell of a quarterback, and he's also a culture changer. So like, if that was something that opened itself up, and say the Jets win 7 games this year and the Colts also have a decent season, and suddenly, you know, maybe the Cowboys as well, and now suddenly those Jets picks are not top 10 or maybe not top 5, but they're in the teens,
right?
And you have an opportunity to give one of those or two of those to go get a Baker or make a play like that. Yeah, I mean, I think that has to be on their mind. Just honestly, what's also on their mind is, what if Geno's good? Like, you know, if Geno's good, do we really want to just move on from him if we know we've got something here where, I mean, you can look at what the Vikings just did, where they let Sam Darnold go thinking they had the guy in the first round pick, and that turned out to be a colossal mistake. So I think everything is on the table right now for the Jets, and they're considering everything. And I was talking to some people over there because I hit up some of my guys just saying, like, hey, going to be with you on August 5th, but, like, how are things looking? I've heard really good things about David Bailey, and Klubnik actually was another their quarterback they drafted in the fourth round. I heard some good praise about him.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him last year. I did a couple of his games last year at Clemson, and I think he's going to be a good prospect. And by the way, I'm just sour on Geno because of this offseason. Nothing to do with anything field. Yeah. It's just like, dude, what's wrong with you? Like you're a grown ass man. You're a veteran quarterback. Yeah. You know that this is going to be impactful in some way when you make bad decisions like that. So I'm just soured on him. He may be great, but I just think the Jets need to start thinking.
Hey, Connor, it's August tomorrow. Who has a better record, Giants or Jets?
Giants. I think through August? Or
no,
like
no, 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 no. I mean this year.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like who's winning camp so far, and I was like, oh, God, I can't do that yet. I haven't even seen them.
No.
I think the Giants are going to have a better record. I mean, I think the Giants are at baseline probably a 7 or an 8-win team this year, and then if Jackson Dart's really good is when we can start talking about more than that. Like, no. Jackson holds the keys, but I think they can win 7 or 8 with their current state.
I appreciate the truthful answer. That was just my way of getting Jet fans to get in your mention saying you hate them. So
that was... Oh, they'll be in my... They're automatic. My favorite is that, dude, I tweet anything positive about the Giants, and I'm just dragged by the Giants.
I know. Just wait till Evan comes back. He's like, why'd you have Connor on without me?
He was already annoyed. We had you. Yeah. Well, Connor, we love you. Enjoy West Virginia.
Appreciate you, thank you
so much, man. Connor Hughes, SMY.
Be good, bro.
Take him on Twitter. All right, take care. Connor, the best. How about that? A little beat reporter of Summer House.
I know.